Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Wrestle Chat Radio as we review last night's Big Money in the Bank pay-per-view at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. What an event it was last night, folks, and the first thing I want to say is everyone who went into Fort Worth last night and filled that arena, good for you. Good for you. What a noise they made. What an excited crowd they were. And these are people getting back to living their lives and not living in fear like rats in a cage somewhere. So good for you. Good for you. And you added so much to the show, by the way. It was a tremendous difference. Tremendous difference. Anyway, we kick off with, and yes, we're going to get to the Peacock problems. Peacock's got to get their crap straight here. Okay, Peacock can't be asking people to subscribe to their network to get the WWE pay-per-views and then not be able to get the damn thing right. Probably 15 minutes of the pay-per-view was chopped up, blacked out, garbled. Why? Why is that? You think a lot of people were watching last night wait till WrestleMania comes around? I mean, come on, folks. Let's get it right. You knew when you bought this what you were going to need to do to successfully deliver these pay-per-views. It's not the first time I've had trouble with Peacock, by the way, and I thought initially it was just local. I thought it was perhaps something with my server or whatever, but no, as I'm reading comments online and everything, I'm saying, Peacock, they can't handle it. And you know how I know they couldn't handle it? Because what I did was I shut it off and I restarted it so that I'm, you know, a little bit behind it, and all of a sudden, oh, it's fine now. Couldn't handle the amount of people, I guess, that were watching it. So, you know, please. That doesn't pass the lap test. Anyway, we start out with the Usos facing Rey and Dominic for the tag team titles. Rey and Dominic walked through some kind of a time portal or something. I don't know what the hell that was. That does not suit their characters. It does not, it's just dumb. I didn't like that at all. Change that. But this was a really good match. It was a really good match. It told a really good story. And even though I still say, to an extent, you could have made Roman a lot more of a heel if they lost and he was disappointed in them than him having to, you know, be reluctantly proud of them and say, well, a lot of this was my doing. Yeah, well. But still, I think overall the right team probably did win. I knew they were going to win anyway. I was told that quite a long time ago that that's what they were shooting for. So I wasn't surprised, and it was a really good match. And the idea behind Roman's faction having the belt is it's okay. I didn't have a problem with it. Todd, what's your thoughts on the prelim match here with the Usos taking the tag team titles?
The match was, I like the match. The match was pretty good, but I just didn't like the Mysterio's time portal, 1930s or 40s gangster part right there.
Well, what the hell that was. It was like something from Doctor Who, Mike. I didn't care for that, but the match was good.
The match was very good. And, you know, I mean, what do you expect from the, you know, from the Usos, right? I mean, we know how good the Usos do now. Granted, we didn't quite know how good a tag team the Mysterios were going to be, and they're very good, you know.
Yep.
But we expect it is exactly what we expected, and you know, I mean, look, I said it before. The whole Mysterio story ended once they won the titles, right?
Yep.
So this was basically the only way it could have ended up, right?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. There's no more to be told there. The father-son tag team, they won. The story's over. I guess they're going to feud with the Usos some more, which is fine because we're going to get some good matches. But I don't think the Usos are going to lose the tag team titles to them. So, again, you know, I might have booked it differently, but I'm perfectly happy with this. Worked out fine, and it was a good match. We then start off the event with the women's Money in the Bank. And remember I told you, it's not going to take too long before the fans go back to rooting for the people they want to, cheering for the people they want to, booing the people they want to. At first, you know, the first couple of weeks, I thought maybe the fans would just go along with the program because they're so excited and everything. But last night, these fans in Fort Worth made their feelings known. And there is no doubt in my mind that the two most popular people in that ring last night, as far as the women's Money in the Bank match was concerned, was Alexa Bliss by far. Then it was pretty close between Nikki Cross and Liv Morgan. And I think Liv Morgan was being rooted for mostly because, like, she was the underdog trying to achieve something. The fans always tend to root for that underdog trying to achieve something. I'm going to give WWE credit for one thing. At least they faked doing what I said. At least they faked that Alexa Bliss was going to pull that thing down with no ladder. At least they didn't say, well, she wouldn't be able to do it. That's just dumb. We're not going to do that. After showing she can make things fall and everything else, so I would assume she can make the Money in the Bank ladder match thing fall, right? So I'm waiting for her to make the briefcase fall, and so is she. So I was like, well, at least they addressed it, so that's good. Then I'll tell you something. Almost everyone in this match showed how good they were. You had a lot of really good – now, Alexa Bliss didn't have much to do because that's just her way now. They're not – they're really minimizing Alexa Bliss and the bump she takes and the amount of wrestling she does. They're really limiting it. Tamina looked like a fish out of water. I'm sorry. I've given Tamina enough chances. Her personality is about zero. Her wrestling ability is about zero. And it's just not going to happen for her. The best she can do is that tag team. And once that's broken up, I don't know what you're going to do with Tamina because she can't handle it. She just can't handle it. Tamina's no better. In fact, I think Tamina may be worse as far as actual ability than Nia Jax. It's just that she doesn't hurt people. She's careful. She's much more careful. But, man, she's choppy and she's out of place. And it's very obvious when you're in there with a whole bunch of people who aren't, because then you just stick out like a sore thumb. You're like the person in the band who can't really play and everybody else can. And you stick out even more now because everybody else is like wailing on their instrument and you're struggling. Well, that's what Tamina is. God bless her, but, I mean, unless you just do something very minimal with her, like make her an almost, where you just get in there and, you know, headbutt somebody and throw them around a little bit, she can't do anything much more than that. Anyway, Nikki Cross, or Nikki Ash, I think we're supposed to call her now, wins. In a kind of a little surprise thing where after everyone has buried Alexa Bliss under ladders, because apparently she can make, you know, the scaffolding fall, but she can't set the ladders aside. Once she's buried under the ladders and eliminated, everyone scoots up the ladders. I do have a problem with this spot only because when there is a ladder clearly available and no one is on it, why are you setting up a second one? I'm watching Oscar set up a third one, and I'm like, well, there's two ladders there, and nobody's on it. You're just wasting time. Oh, we know why, because you're setting up a spot. But still, it's very obvious you're setting up a spot then, isn't it? So I'm not a big fan of those, but this was kind of a cool spot where everybody's fighting on the ladders, and Nikki A.S.H. just kind of runs up everybody and grabs it. I don't, you know, a lot of people are saying this is a bad decision. Should have been Liv Morgan. No. Absolutely should not have been Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan has a lot more story to tell about overcoming her adversity and moving up the ranks from a prelim wrestler to a main eventer. She's got a lot more story to tell. You don't put the Money in the Bank briefcase in her hand right now. Absolutely do not do it. My two choices, I said, was either I really thought Alexa Bliss would win because I thought she'd be the most diabolical with the briefcase. But then I said, hey, you could potentially give it to Nikki Cross, too, because she's been on that roll, and that might work for her. But she's not going to be able to cash it in, like, in a sneaky way, because that's not what superheroes do. So she's going to have to come out and be just and moral and say, I want my shot, you know. But nonetheless, good match. Really good match, I thought, Mike. And everybody except Tamina, I thought, had their spot and looked good.
Right, and was it Nikki Cross? No, it wasn't Nikki Cross. It was, what's her name that did it? It was Nikki, I'm trying to remember, Liv Morgan or somebody, that when Tamina went to set up the ladder, as Tamina's holding up the ladder, I believe, what's her name, went up to climb the ladder to get the briefcase. That was a cool spot.
Yep.
You know?
Morgan, that was a cool spot. And Nikki A.S.H. jumping off the ladder, almost tipped the ladder over, by the way. She went to the very top, and it wasn't balanced to take out the whole pack. That was a cool spot.
Yes, it was a fun spot. And look, these are women, and knew it wasn't going to go to, you know, you're not going to give it to a tag team champion. But it's obvious that the woman who doesn't belong there the most is, of course, Tamina. But Tamina is a safer version of what's her name. She can get the job done and not hurt people, you know.
Yeah, well, she's got that going for her. She's careful enough not to hurt people, but she's very, very, very stiff and wooden in the ring. Look, if you're an Alexa Bliss fan, you're going to have to come to terms with the fact that they are not going to make the mistake that they made with Bray Wyatt. They don't want her involved in the title. They've decided she's better to be this freakish character that nobody really beats, but she doesn't win a title either. And maybe that's the way to go with her. I don't know. Maybe that's the way to go. Look what happened when they gave The Fiend the title, right? That didn't work out too well. I still say her carrying the briefcase would have been fun, though. Anyway, tag team championship match, AJ Styles and Omos versus the Viking Raiders. What did I tell you about the crowd? And what did I tell you about AJ Styles? The fans were chanting AJ Styles the whole match. The whole match. The reason they're chanting AJ Styles the whole match is twofold. One, they're AJ Styles fans because they know he's a great wrestler. But two, they're sick of watching him be the jabron guy who can't do anything and never shows any of his skill just to tag off to Omos so he can just go rawr and headbutt somebody. They want AJ Styles back. That was your Fort Worth audience last night telling you, can we please have AJ Styles back so we can enjoy what he does, because that's the reason we like him. Was it a good match? It was a long match. It was longer than I thought. And AJ Styles' job in that match was to be the punching bag. Almost isn't going to take much abuse. We saw what it was going to be. Two or three times, it was like, well, AJ would have been pinned if it wasn't for Almost. Oh, I get it. So AJ Styles can't overcome the Viking Raiders now, when he was almost overcoming Brock Lesnar. But Almost can, who can't string two moves together. You got a problem with Almost. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. He's not going to get any better. I've seen these people before. He is what he is. He's going to be stiff. If you try to make him do too much, he's going to get hurt. He's going to have a leg injury. He's going to have a knee injury. He's going to have a torn quad. I'm telling you. So if you're going to keep this guy, my advice to you is get him out of a tag team and make him just a guy who has a couple of minute matches here and there and doesn't do too much, because like Andre the Giant, because otherwise, I'm telling you, he's going to be out with injuries. He's going to be a stiff. He can't, he's not going to put on even a three-star match. He can't do it. He's strictly a power wrestler. And he's not even too good at that. And his selling is just to put his hands up like he's trying to protect himself even when nobody's punching him. He's got a long way to go. This is not somebody you put in AJ Styles' back pocket and say, AJ, teach him the ropes. He can't do it. This is a guy you just say, look, you stick to what you know, which is very little. You just do very basic stuff. You don't give him to AJ Styles and say, AJ, teach him to be a 7'3" AJ Styles. He can't do it. Crowd was very much into AJ Styles, and of course their team won, Todd, but I think it just goes to show what we said on the program yesterday, is the fans want the old AJ Styles back.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, about we like to see the old AJ Styles back. You know, I would, like we said yesterday with him and Omos, just make Omos a singles wrestler. If AJ can't wrestle full-time, he could be a mouthpiece.
Yeah, or just don't have him wrestle as much or whatever, you know, he wants to do, Mike. But you could tell the crowd wanted to see AJ Styles perform as good as he could.
Right, and really, you're really kind of wasting AJ Styles. You're wasting AJ Styles because we know that at some point, you know, within the next 2 or 3 years, you know, he's going to scale himself back anyway, right? So
yes,
and he wants to scale back anyway, you know. But right now, they really can't have him scale back too much because they need him, right? They're firing people left and right, and they need him, right? So they can't afford for him to scale back, and they really shouldn't have put him in this tag team anyway.
And you know the reason they're doing it. They're putting him in this tag team because they think he can help almost along. But you can only help a guy that big along so much. AJ Styles has never been a power wrestler. He's not the type of guy that'd be able to teach Omos, you know, just do these things. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. I was never a big fan of the tag team to begin with. I was okay with him coming out with them to just be like his bodyguard or something. When they formed a tag team, I said, I think this is going to be a mistake. We're going to always have AJ Styles be the guy who has to make the hot tag. We're not going to see the best of AJ Styles. We're seeing the best of AJ Styles selling for other people. But we're not seeing the best of AJ Styles offense. And that's a shame because he's got a lot of good offense. Anyway, they won. And the crowd continues to chant AJ Styles. I feel sorry for the Viking Raiders because, let's face it, Styles was the most popular guy in that match. We then get Bobby Lashley versus Kofi Kingston, and my sources were correct. So a big shout-out to my sources who shall remain nameless, but they told me this is going to be a squash match. They want to set up Bobby Lashley big. They want to make him look like he is absolutely unstoppable, and Kofi's going to take one for the team Sunday. They were absolutely correct. Now, I respect the hell out of Kofi Kingston for doing this because, you know, he's a former WWE champion. It's not everybody who'd say, that's right, I'll take one for the team. He took one for the team. Lashley mauled him. Aside from like 10 seconds in the beginning of the match, Kofi Kingston got in nothing. And it did, in fact, make Bobby Lashley look like a monster. And it did offer the announcers the opportunity to say, this is Kofi Kingston. He's a former champion. He's mauling him like he's nobody. And it really did feel as though Bobby Lashley had returned to form. And that's exactly what the WWE wanted to do. So, I mean, I'm not going to argue with this match. They set a goal to make Bobby Lashley look unstoppable, go back to this unstoppable, indestructible monster. Because he had lost in the last month or two, he'd not been looking so sharp. And they wanted to hit the reset button, and I think they did it, and they did it well, Mike, so I really don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it, and that's a true professional. Kofi knew his job, he did his job, and he did it well. And it really didn't hurt Kofi. It didn't. You don't necessarily look for him to be strong in that match. You look for him not to get hurt in that match. And it didn't hurt him.
Well, I don't think it hurt him because, of course, you can say, look, Xavier pissed off Bobby Lashley to the point where anyone who was getting in that ring with him was in big trouble. And now we're seeing this new Bobby Lashley who's so focused. So, no, I don't think it hurt him either. Aside from that, you can't really rate this match. It was a squash match. I thought it was fine. It wasn't exciting because we knew what was going to happen, but it was good, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Kofi Kingston came out last night, I got the feeling he took one for the team. He took one for the team to get squashed.
He did, and, like Mike said, that's a consummate professional who's going to come in there and, he'll get his spots again. Kofi Kingston's going nowhere. The New Day's the most popular tag team maybe in the history of the WWE, and none of them three guys are going anywhere. So, it doesn't hurt him, his career, any, because Kofi's career is assured, put it that way. Kofi's career is assured. Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley next. Felt sorry for these two, but I'm going to give credit where credit is due. First off, the fans made their voices very clearly heard. They don't like either one of these two. They started chanting Becky Lynch. They were not interested in this match. Fans were not interested in this match. And I'll tell you why. Because there's nobody to root for. They don't like Charlotte because she's supposed to be a heel, and they don't like Rhea Ripley because she acts like a heel. So they're both like, we don't like either one of them. So let's start chanting for someone who isn't a heel, Becky Lynch. Charlotte actually gives the fans the middle finger, which they blacked out. But to their credit, they turned it around with their talent. Halfway through the match, the fans started getting into the match because it was a good match. That's not easy to do sometimes when the fans really have decided we're not interested in either one of your characters. And to their credit, they took an audience that was literally chanting, we want Becky, and booing both of them to fans that were chanting, this is awesome. It's not easy to do. So you have to credit both women with that. As far as Charlotte winning, it's the right move. I know a lot of people are going to kill me for this and say, oh, God, Charlotte again, blah, blah, blah. It's the right move, though, and I'll tell you why it's the right move. Rhea Ripley's just not over. What are you going to do with her? She's not even putting on great matches on a regular basis. She did last night. She put on a good match, but, she's in there with Charlotte Flair. But on average, she was not putting on good matches. And she certainly isn't winning over the crowd. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, Becky's coming back. Are we going to put her in against Rhea, who we don't really have a lot of faith in getting this feud over? Or are we going to put it in the hands of Charlotte Flair, who's been there, done that, and we know can't? And they went with what they knew. And I can't fault them for that. I just can't. So, look, I'm not excited about Charlotte Flair being the champion either, but if you ask me which one I would go with, yes, I'm going with Charlotte Flair. I think you have to do that, Todd, because at least you know what you're getting.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about what the Charlotte Flair and the Rhea Ripley match last night, like you said, at the end of the match, everybody's chanting, we want Becky Lynch. And I've seen that too when she flipped the bird to the crowd and they censored it.
Yeah, they blacked it out. Yeah, I guess you're not allowed to do that anymore. Mike, it was a good match, and to their credit, they turned a crowd who wasn't interested around into a crowd that was interested. But in the end, I do think you have to give this to Charlotte Flair.
You got to give it to Charlotte Flair. And look, this is only the second person that's drawn a good match out of Rhea Ripley, the other one being Natty. And we know why that is, right? You know?
Yeah.
They've been taught to do that. I mean, for God's sake, you know, Natty came out of the dungeon, and of course, we know Charlotte's lineage, you know. So I mean, she's the one that did it. She carried. I don't want to say she carried the match, but she almost did carry that match.
You know, Mike, you can sort of say that because I was just about to say if you go back and watch that match, most of the good stuff that's happening is a result of Charlotte Flair's work, not Rhea Ripley. Sorry, if you're a Rhea Ripley fan, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to Rhea Ripley because I've seen her do magnificent things down in NXT, but since she's been here in the WWE, I don't see it, and I don't see this character going over. I just don't. The best you can hope for is turn her heel and make her, you know, as tough as you can and hope for the best, but, you know, right now I don't see it. Hopefully they can turn it around, but right now I don't see it. We then get the men's ladder match. And once again, talk about crowd surprises. Who knew John Morrison had so many fans, huh? How about that, WWE? Morrison was getting huge pops. He got huge pops on the pre-show. Fans were chanting Johnny Drip Drip. Who would have expected it? This is what happens when the live crowds come back and you say to yourself, I didn't know. I didn't know he was that over. He's over. He's over. Now, almost everybody in this match was over, to be honest, but I was just surprised that John Morrison was that over. He was more over than Kevin Owens. So, very shocking. Now, here's another thing that's shocking. Matt Riddle did almost nothing in this match. If I didn't know better, I would have said Matt Riddle was hurt. I didn't see him do very much of anything. I've seen other people do some tremendous spots. There were some great spots in this match, but Matt Riddle did not do much. And as far as the ending is concerned, I think this is a huge, glaring, colossal mistake. And I'll tell you why I think that. There's nowhere to go with this. Big E is a face. He's not going to cash in a sneaky, underhanded, someone's hurt and I'm going to cash my stuff in now way. Roman Reigns is already busy. He is going to be fighting John Cena at SummerSlam and most likely The Rock in some capacity at WrestleMania. There is no room at the table for Big E cashing in on Roman Reigns. And if Big E can't beat Apollo Crews on SmackDown, he sure as hell can't beat Roman Reigns on SmackDown. So they did not give him the Money in the Bank briefcase to challenge Roman Reigns. That much I can tell you for sure. What it would appear is that they had Kofi take the beating so that Big E maybe could come and avenge that beating to a certain extent and set him up for Bobby Lashley. But we know Lashley, of course, probably tonight is going to be challenged by Goldberg, although John Cena is there tonight too at Raw. The only thing I can think of that would make any sense is if Big E says, I'm cashing my Money in the Bank briefcase in right now and I want to make it a three-way match with Bill Goldberg, because then Bill Goldberg would be protected. The match could go longer. Goldberg would have plenty of time to rest and do what he needs to do. And there'd be some interest in the match because I got news, Goldberg's still going to get booed. Now, Bobby Lashley did an awesome job last night of being the heel. The fans were clearly not on his side. So that means Bobby Lashley is working, and he's working well. You're not taking the belt off him. Not when you have Big E, who was a champion not a heavyweight champion, but he was one of the minor belts, and wasn't really putting on very good matches with Apollo Crews, and really fans were about it, especially, you know, there wasn't no fans live, but fans on the internet are saying, it's not working out as good as we thought. Big E's not putting on good matches. The interviews aren't so good. He's not the same without the New Day. They're not going to make him the champion. Not when Bobby Lashley's getting that kind of booze that we heard last night. They had lightning in a bottle with Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley's a major heel, and the fans are totally booing him. They're not handing that belt to Big E. If you think Big E Langston is going to be going into WrestleMania as the champion, it's not going to happen. That's not going to be a big enough name. Bobby Lashley, they have built up. Well, Kofi Kingston took that beating for a reason, and it's not so Big E can be the champion. It's so Bobby Lashley can go into WrestleMania with so much momentum that you say, well, who the hell could stop him? Big E's been stopped a half a dozen times. Apollo Crews beat him twice. So, yeah, no. They're giving it to Big E because I think they don't have anything for Big E. Remember, when Big E lost his championship belt, they started tag-teaming him with Kevin Owens because they didn't know what else to do. They didn't have anything for Big E. So I think they just figure, well, we're going to give it to Big E. We'll tease he's going to cash it in, or maybe have him cash it in with the Goldberg situation. It'll help that match, and then, you know, that's it. That's the big push. I don't think it's going to help Big E. I think the wrong person won for sure. Should have been Riddle. Should have been the cash-in of the tag team championships. With AJ and Almost, that would have been extremely interesting. Now, great match. Kevin Owens took a hellacious bump that I don't know for sure, but I think he really might have got hurt because I saw referees down there checking on him, and they were checking with great furor. In other words, they just didn't lean in like they usually do and say everything's good. They were, like, having people come over. I don't know whether he banged his head. I don't know what happened on the ladder. It was a hellacious bump. Ricochet did a great move off the top of the ladder to the top of the rope, springboard out. Told you that's what they were in there for. Morrison did that corkscrew thing that was awesome. Great match. Wrong guy won. Because there's nothing to look forward to. At least with Matt Riddle, you could have said, I'm looking forward to, is he going to cash in solo? Is he going to cash in tag team? Remember, he could tease one and do the other. He could say, no, I said I was going to cash it in for me and Randy, and that's what I'm going to do, and then lie. And say, well, of course I wasn't going to tell him what I was really going to do. There's so much you could have done with that. With Big E, there's nothing you can do with it. He can't sneak attack anybody after they're hurt, or he's going to look like a heel. So he's going to have to go in and say, I'm giving up my briefcase on such and such a day. I want this match. He's going to have to do that. And if you're convincing me that Big E is going to be the heavyweight champion of either brand, I don't believe it. Sorry. You didn't even have enough faith in him to keep the belt on him long enough so his very first opponent, other than Sami Zayn, took the belt from him. And have you seen Apollo Crews doing anything? Was Apollo Crews in last night's pay-per-view? No. So if you're telling me that the guy that Apollo Crews beat is going to be the heavyweight champion when Apollo Crews ain't even in the pay-per-view, I don't buy it. So I think it was a wasted opportunity here by the WWE. I think it was one of those things where they said, we don't have anything to do with this character right now, and we do want to give him some promotion, so give it to Big E. And, or maybe they really, really did figure, look, Goldberg might not be able to do 2 minutes with Bobby Lashley. But if we throw Big E into the mix, maybe we can get 10, 15 minutes out of this match. With Goldberg just hitting a spot or two, resting, rolling out of the ring, resting. It's possible. Anyway, Mike, I really didn't care for the Big E win because I just don't think it's leading anywhere.
Right. And look, you're right about John Morrison. How can they, if he keeps getting pops like this, how are they going to be able to keep him heel? And if they can't keep him heel, how are they going to keep the Miz heel? You know? Because he's going to drive the Miz.
At the pre-show.
And that's the thing. And so what's going to happen with those two guys? And look, Big E had that big spot with the big ending off the ladder. I like that, too, you know?
Me, too. Oh, Big E had some good spots. I'm not saying Big E's not a good wrestler. He had the nice spot there where he took Drew McIntyre out, too. I'm just telling you that I don't see him being a heavyweight champion, or I don't even consider that the WWE is considering him on that level. So it's almost a guaranteed, predetermined cash-in, and he doesn't win. I don't see any circumstance how Big E could be a champion of either one of these federations and be legit. Not right now, because you've already downcycled him. Apollo Crews has beaten him. A couple of people beat him in them six-man tag team matches. He's lost a lot of matches. He's not being cycled up as a guy who's like, well, you, good luck trying to beat him. I mean, if Almost was in it and won it, you'd say, well, maybe, because you know, they're making him indestructible. They've not made Big E anywhere near close to indestructible. They've made Big E very vulnerable, and I just don't see him being the champion. Just don't. Certainly not going to be Roman Reigns. If they switch him over to Raw, maybe they figure people will forget that he got pinned all the time on SmackDown and he couldn't keep his championship on SmackDown. Maybe. Because at least there he's reunited with the New Day. And there'll be some interest. But on SmackDown, he's not going to be the champion. And Roman Reigns has got his plate full. Got John Cena at SummerSlam and most likely The Rock at WrestleMania. And that's the way it's going to be. And I don't even know. I mean, would Big E and Bobby Lashley be a good match? I guess. I don't see Bobby Lashley losing. Not after the reaction he got last night. Anyway, that leads us up to Edge versus Roman Reigns. This match went like 30 minutes. So I'll give Edge some credit. Yes, there was a lot of rest holds. And anybody who took to social media to say, Roman Reigns' matches are so slow and there's a lot of rest holds, he's fighting a 50-year-old man. A lot of those rest holds were because Edge needed them. So don't give me that. Edge did well. I'm not saying Edge didn't do well. But, I mean, at some point in time, you got to realize he's not, you know, he hasn't done 100 matches since he's come back, and he's going to have some rest in between spots. And, yes, Roman Reigns gave him a lot of opportunity to have the rest in those spots. But Roman Reigns proved again last night, I don't care if you say his matches are very formula, it runs the same formula every time. He's not booking it. What I'm telling you is he's a great professional wrestler. I'll tell you why he's a great professional wrestler. This sold me on Roman Reigns more than anything he has done so far. The crowd was very hot. And they started chanting, let's go Roman, let's go Edge. Let's go Roman, let's go Edge. Most people would have said, that's cool. We got a split crowd, 50-50, and they're ravenous, so that's the best thing we can hope for. Roman Reigns did not want to be cheered. So Roman Reigns acknowledged the crowd and then turned around and said, if you're not cheering for me, shut the hell up, whatever. And the fans turned on him. He was telling fans all night long, shut up, shut up. Making the fans go back to rooting for Edge. That is a very, very smart thing to do. And a lot of wrestlers would have said, that's okay, I got my fans here. I like that. Reigns realizes, I can't have this. There's always going to be some people to root for me, but if I can switch a few people over, if I can, you know, totally get the face over here, that's my job. And he did it. And all night long, he stayed on the crowd. Anytime they started to maybe go toward, leaning a little toward Roman, he'd badmouth them, yell at them, tell them to shut up, do little subtle things like saying, stop clapping because it's not going to help. And then you realize, well, then I'm going to clap even louder. and then it starts to help. He did all these little psychological things. He did all these little small things that matter. That's what makes a great professional wrestler. And Roman Reigns is getting better and better and better, and he's still relatively young, Mike.
And look, we postulated on Sunday that having the Usos win the championship would hurt him. I don't think it's going to hurt him all that much. I don't think it's going to hurt Roman Reigns all that much, right? And frankly, they could have overbooked it. They could have underbooked it. I think they booked it just right. I mean, the only thing I think was that might have been missing in my opinion was having Naomi get involved in it, but that might have been a tad overbooked if they had done that, but I wouldn't have minded that because we have a feeling that at some point Naomi is going to join that group at some point.
That's going to happen in time. There's no question in my mind that's going to happen. The only thing, misgiving I have is this. What Seth Rollins did didn't make any sense. Seth Rollins clearly said after he lost the Money in the Bank match, I need a new plan. Whoever is the winner of this match, I'm next. I'm not waiting. I'm next. Well, wouldn't it be easier to beat Edge, who hasn't been in the ring for a very long time, than it would to beat Roman Reigns? So wouldn't you sort of be rooting for Edge? Didn't he say, I'm rooting for you? Didn't he literally say on the television show, I'm going to be there with a sign rooting for you, Edge, because I want to take the belt off you? That's what he said. And then he stopped Edge from winning the belt. That does not make any sense. I'm sorry. Whoever booked that does not make any sense. I know you're going to say, well, he thinks Edge cost him the chance to be the number one contender in the first place. It doesn't – I'm sorry. That does not add up. He knew Edge cost him that before he said he was going to sit there in the front row and root for Edge. It only makes sense for Seth Rollins to interfere if Edge was going to win. And Seth Rollins helps him win. Because then Seth Rollins says, much easier guy to take the belt from. He's injured. He's older. He hasn't wrestled in a long time. He doesn't know me as well as Roman Reigns knows me. There's a million reasons why it's easier to take the belt off Edge. No. The very guy who says he's rooting for Edge literally costs him the championship. By the way, the one thing Roman Reigns did do wrong, but I'm sure he had no say over it, I think he oversold Edge. I mean, if you take a look at this, you would say, okay, well, Roman shouldn't be the champion. Roman lost. Well, okay, well, then I don't know how the hell he's going to beat John Cena, you know, or Brock Lesnar when that comes around. You know what I mean? If he can't beat Edge, can't beat a 50-some-odd-year-old man who's wrestled 3 matches in 20 years, 15 years, come on. So I think this was a spot where if I were the bookers, I would have said Edge is going to do super well in the beginning. Super well. Damn near beat you a couple times. But as this match goes longer, you're going to start to dominate, and eventually you're just going to win. And the deal behind that will be Edge can simply say, look, I ran out of gas. I blew my load early, and he survived it. Credit to him. Maybe I wasn't in the shape I was in 5 or 6 years ago, and, you know, maybe I can't get in that kind of shape. I don't know. But the bottom line is my body let me down after, like, the 20-minute mark. And it's something I have to work on. It's no shame to Edge. Because this way makes it look like Roman Reigns really didn't win, and he couldn't even beat Edge. So I imagine he couldn't beat Brock Lesnar. Or even John Cena. So I don't know. It was a good match, Todd, but that's my one criticism on it. I don't know why Seth Rollins would help Roman Reigns when he clearly said he was rooting for Edge.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Seth Rollins last night. When he came in the ring through the crowd, attacked Edge, and just looked at Roman Reigns like nothing happened, technically.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking, Mike, when he went backstage and they were saying, you know, how do you feel about not winning the match? And he said, this isn't working. I thought, uh-oh, here we go. We're going to start to see the beginning of Seth Rollins turning face because of Becky Lynch coming back. But I guess not.
I guess not. And that's the thing. I mean, that's what I thought, too. I thought, well, Becky was backstage, right? She was backstage, and everybody knew she was backstage. And I wouldn't have been surprised to see her walk up on him, just walking up on him, right? You know, maybe give him a kiss or whatever, you know. And that would have drawn a cheer from the outside, of course, because it's Becky Lynch, and that would have cemented the fact that he's going to turn face, right?
Yeah, but I think they want that moment saved for when she walks out. I don't think they want her to just do that as a Seth Rollins skit. I think they want that to be, my God, Becky Lynch is back, and that's the big moment, like John Cena afterwards. Now, John Cena got the biggest pop of John Cena's life. And remember, we were all saying, well, is he going to get the big pop because of this whole thing with him saying Taiwan isn't a country after saying it was? Well, wrestling fans have very short memories, and when somebody shows up who's super famous at a show you're at, you're going to cheer for him. I want to see if this continues. That's what I want to see. I want to see if John Cena pop continues, or it's just a nostalgic, he's back, hooray, we got to see him live, and we didn't think we were going to pop. That's what I want to see. Now, wrestling fans, you know, a lot of them don't care. I'm going to be very honest with you. We live in a world where people are wearing Nike sneakers and chatting on their Apple iPhone, and they don't give one damn that there's a million Uyghurs in China in death camps and people being worked to death, literally slave labor. They don't care. They don't see any association between that and their sneakers or their iPhone. And whatever, I mean, it's the way it is. There are a lot of people who say, I don't even understand what happened. So John Cena thought Taiwan was a country and he corrected it, big deal. They don't know. And for the percentage of people who do know, maybe it's just not that high and people are like, oh, whatever, who cares? Who cares what he said? There's a lot of people like that. I'm not one of them. John Cena is a good wrestler, obviously. It's, you know, the Hulk Hogan of that era. But I don't forgive that mistake. I would forgive Hulk Hogan for what he did quicker. Because at least Hulk Hogan came out and said I was wrong to do it, and he didn't do it in public. John Cena publicly went on television and said something that was not true. He said he made a mistake and accidentally called Taiwan a country when it isn't. It is a country, John. And it's a country that China is trying to force into their rule. And to apologize to the people who are trying to force a country into their rule isn't really a cool thing to do. You know, he came out with a never give up towel, and I said to myself, what about the people in Taiwan? You want them to give up? Apparently you do. You've given up for them. You've told them they're not a country. Look, I overlooked it when John Cena said what a wonderful progressive place Saudi Arabia was, how they were making such leaps and bounds, progress, months before they sent people to an embassy in Turkey to carve a man up and put him in a briefcase. Months before they held a plane on a tarmac and refused to allow it to leave with WWE workers on it and force them into a hotel. And believe me when I tell you that was done on purpose. I don't care what Vince McMahon says. I don't care what AJ Styles says. I don't care what any of them say. The timing of the coincidence that they didn't pay Vince McMahon the money and Vince McMahon demanded the money and then all of a sudden the plane can't leave You're not going to, please, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. I know how world politics works, and I know how that worked. But I forgave John Cena for that. And I said, well, whatever. At the time, maybe they were hoping it was going to get more progressive, and they just didn't realize that they were being lied to. This is not the case this time with John Cena. He knows he lied. And he lied to make a profit for his movie company because they told him, you get back on that air and say you were mistaken. And John Cena is a smart enough man to know he wasn't mistaken. So that is the equivalent of you telling someone, this person did something horrible to me or is doing something horrible to people I know. And the powers that be at your job say, no, you're wrong. And now you're going to go in front of everyone, the courts and everyone, and say, I was wrong. Are you going to do that? Or are you going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not wrong. That person is doing horrible things to people. And I want it stopped. And I'm not going to apologize for calling it. Well, if you're John Cena, the answer is, yes, you will do that. Because you want that sweet, sweet Chinese money. I'm not forgiving him. I'm just not. Call me whatever you want to call me. I'm not forgiving him. So I couldn't care less that John Cena is back. I couldn't care less that he's going to fight Roman Reigns or he's going to fight Bobby Lashley or he's going to fight them both or he's going to fight neither of them. I don't care. Because you've jumped the shark with me now, John. You can't be Mr. Red, White, and Blue, All-American. I'm a nice guy. I'm for this country. I'm waving the red, white, and blue, and then bow down to China when your paycheck is on the line. Because that has nothing to do with the values of American people. So, I mean, while he got a huge pop, Mike, and the fans don't care, and I'm sure it's going to help the ratings and everything, you know, to me, it's underwhelming.
Yeah, it is underwhelming, and I think he might have gotten a big pop tonight, but it's there's going to be more fans that depending on when he fights whoever he fights, if it's Lashley or Reigns, they're going to cheer the other guy. They're going to cheer. And you don't want them to cheer either one of those or two other guys. But
yeah,
it will happen.
Stick around for WrestleMania, and he's going to have a big match. Someone's going to stick a microphone in his face and ask him the million-dollar question of, why did you apologize for calling Taiwan a country, John? It is a country. And what's he going to say? I'll tell you what they're going to say. Don't ask me any of those questions. Don't bring up that subject, or I won't agree to do an interview with you. That's what they're going to say. No one's going to ask him that question, because it won't be allowed. That's a terrible shame. That's a terrible shame, because I remember once upon a time when the media would have jumped all over this and said, well, I mean, you said it. Now you got to back it up. He didn't have to back up anything. He'll never be asked. He'll be asked questions like, how was it to work with Vin Diesel? How is it to be a part of the Fast and Furious family? Oh, it's very, very nice. They're very, very wonderful. That's what you're going to be asked. There's not one person who's going to say, hey, John, what was with the apology? Why would you apologize to a communist dictatorship who's trying to overthrow a country, who's trying to fight for their own freedom and their own independence? And they are a country, but with you saying you made a mistake when you called them a country. Well, what's with that? They're not going to ask him that. Anyway, he's going to show up on Monday Night Raw tonight. I don't know why. I guess to just help boost the ratings. That's it. I don't think he's going to challenge Lashley. I'm almost 100% sure that if he was going to challenge Lashley, they would have waited until tonight to introduce John Cena because it would be irrelevant to introduce him during the pay-per-view. The pay-per-view was already almost over or completely over. Fans were already happy. It wasn't like you needed the attendance, you needed the pop. It would have been Monday Night Raw if he was going to be a Monday Night Raw guy. So I think John Cena is probably going to be a SmackDown guy. I think he's probably going to be there on Friday probably, and I don't know. They're going to have to start the SummerSlam program right away. So we'll see what happens. But to me, Todd, you know, I was not a John Cena hater. I've never been a John Cena hater. I always thought John Cena was doing a good job as being the face of the WWE and stuff. But I just don't see this as being helpful in the long run. In the short run, people are going to want to see him back. But I don't know about the long run.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I'm not a John Cena hater either, because the stuff he did for, like, the Make-A-Wish, especially for the Make-A-Wish Foundation things to make a kid's wish to come true. But about the one part I didn't like about him, about the Korea part. That's the only thing.
Oh, the Taiwan part. Yeah, listen, John Cena's done a lot of good things. Not taking any of his charitable work away from him. You can be a very, very charitable man. You can be a very, very caring individual who gives selflessly of your time and effort to help children who are sick, and you can still be a coward. And what he did in apologizing to China, that is cowardice. That's cowardice. If I never worked in a motion picture again as long as I lived, if they told me, you made a mistake, Taiwan, you got to go back and say Taiwan's not a country, I would have told them, no, you're very wrong. Taiwan is a country, and I'm not apologizing for it. Period. Because China's got their panties in a bunch because we insist we rule them. Well, you don't. You don't. And I'm not saying you do just to appease you. Tough. And as I stated on this show, there's a million ways John Cena could apologize without saying he made a mistake. John Cena could have just went on and said, if anything that I said offended anyone, any of the wonderful people of China, I'm sorry. It was never my intention to offend anyone. I'm sorry. That is apologizing without saying I was wrong. In other words, if I tell somebody, hey, that dress makes you look fat, and then I say, whoops, I shouldn't have said that. And I say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. That's different than saying, I was lying, the dress actually makes you look thin. Well, then I'm a liar, because the dress does make you look fat. But I apologize saying I didn't mean to hurt your feelings by saying it. That's all John Cena should have done, is to just say, well, look, sorry if it hurts anybody's feelings or I accidentally, you know, offended people. I didn't mean to do that. I was just trying to promote my movie. Good enough. You say, oh, I was wrong. Hey, it wasn't wrong, Mike. Taiwan's a country. Anyway, Mike, what's your ratings for this pay-per-view? What would you give it? Yeah, I think we lost Mike. Mike might be out of range. So I'll go to Todd. Todd, what's your rating on the pay-per-view?
I'm going to give it an A.
You know, it was a good pay-per-view. I will give it that. I'm going to give it an A-minus because I think they blew the men's Money in the Bank with a bad call, and I think that the Seth Rollins thing at the end doesn't make any sense. But, man, the matches were good. You can't help but say the matches were good. Let's try Mike again. Mike, are you there? No, Mike is not there. Okay, so anyway. It was a well-wrestled pay-per-view, and the crowd helped so much. God, the crowd helped so much. Every time I'm listening to the crowd now, I'm thinking, am I giving this an extra half a grade or even a grade higher just because that noise? And the answer, probably yes. But, hey, that's part of wrestling, isn't it? We'll be back tomorrow with the Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.